البرنامج عدينه في يوم الجمعة يوم الجمعة يوم الجمعة. Programs of Legion on a Friday only on the Voice of the Cape.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the Friday Nasiha here on the Voice of the Cape, 91.3 FM Stereo. It's a beautiful Friday morning, and I'll be in your company, inshallah, from now right up until just about 11:45 this morning, inshallah. Well, Friday Nasiha is always bringing you nasiha and encouragement and words of advice in the deen leading up until Yawmul Jumu'ah, inshallah. And that, of course, we'll be taking live again between 12:30 and 11:45 this afternoon, inshallah. In studio with me this morning, I have Sheikh Kashif Damwan. Sheikh, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
And how's Sheikh doing this morning?
I'm good, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
Indeed, a very good morning.
Indeed, a very good morning. It is a beautiful morning outside. It's brilliant. I woke up and the light was so bright, and you know it's in summer. You're in summer now. And it's just wonderful outside. But also, we think about as much as the sun is out, we also make dua for rain. Also, inshallah. Because we need it, especially with the impending water restrictions that may come into place in the country. And then also, another thing is obviously up in the north of the country, people are already struggling with water, and government trying to make a way to get water to people there when they're experiencing droughts. Inshallah, make the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us lots of rain, inshallah, and that is beneficial for us.
Amen.
Inshallah. Sheikh, this morning we're talking about something that in our community we've been accused of a lack of this morning. And we're speaking about honesty in Islam this morning, inshallah. So when we talk about honesty, obviously one would say, yes, you don't lie.
Yes.
But honesty is something that has various branches to it, in a sense. So today we'll be exploring that, inshallah, and the Muslim's responsibility in light of honesty, and also we have a beautiful role model in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the title that he achieved, subhanallah, through his character and through his honesty, that I think we'll obviously be also be exploring this morning. Remember, you can SMS us 47913, SMS us 47913 to our SMS line. Share your messages of Juma Mubarak to your loved ones, inshallah. We'll read that later on, inshallah. But for now, Sheikh Kashif, topic is honesty in Islam this morning. Faith Fadl.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وبنستعين ربي اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا سهل أمورنا يا الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. We first need to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for granting us such a beautiful lifestyle that we have, and I want to call it lifestyle because in inevitable the word deen means a lifestyle, inshallah. The other thing I want to bring to our attention is maybe the topic says honesty in Islam, but I think the appropriate way of putting it always honesty in life, you understand? Because that includes everyone that is subscribing to the belief of one God. You know, ultimately, we believe in one God. I believe also the Christians believe there's one God. I also believe that the Jews believe in one God. And so the whole word of honesty will filter right through to all of them, inshallah. So the reason why I'm saying this is because when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke in the Quran about the messengers, and here he's referring to the messengers of the Jews and the messengers of the Christians, he was always saying that we made them sadiqul wa'adul ameen. You know, sadiq means the truthful ones, wa'ad, you know, to live up to their promise that they made, and they were trustworthy and they were honest, alhamdulillah. So that is basically what life is all about, to be honest within your life, inshallah. To fix it, you know, it is actually more to do with your relation with Allah. I think there's nothing more about honesty than your relation with Allah. Because ultimately, if a person has a negative approach in life, then the first one that knows about it is Allah, before even He knows about it. Because Allah creates an opportunity, and you need to make a decision on the opportunity that was given to us. You understand? So if there was an opportunity for us to lie, it was provided by Allah to us to lie, you understand? And we made the choice, you understand? So ultimately we need to know that there's an Allah above us that witness all of that. So where does it start? It starts with your relation with the Creator, and that normally comes out strongly in the word taqwa. You understand? And the word taqwa is predominantly referring to the consciousness, the awareness and the consciousness of that nothing is restricted or nothing is hidden away from the knowledge of Allah. In other words, I cannot say Allah doesn't know this. I cannot say that Allah is not aware of what I did. Allah knows about it. And if you know that, then you would not find an opportunity, you would not look for an opportunity, you would not seize an opportunity in which you're going to be either doing something wrong or just being dishonest in this life. And we spoke earlier before we started on Ian, we said, and therefore even when you start speaking, before you start saying, Wallahi, for example, that some people are using this, they call it qasam. The word wallahi, there's a few words that is used as, they call it qasam. Some people say qasam wallahi. You understand? So it is qasam. It means that I make a swear, an oath, I swear by Allah. In other words, what I'm saying, when I say wallahi, you can say either wallahi, tallahi, or billahi. These three words. You can say wallahi, or you can say tallahi, or you can say billahi. You understand? And all means the same. What it means actually is that I, whatever I'm saying now, I say I'm saying the truth, and I make Allah a witness to what I'm saying. You understand? So if you say wallahi and you speak a lie after that, and you're making Allah a witness to a lie, that's the biggest sin against any person.
And also, Sheikh, when we talk about the qasam now, sometimes we find people saying, wallahi wa rasul.
Mm.
Is that correct? I mean, in an instance where you have to swear and it is the truth that you are speaking and it is for the right purpose, for a person to say, wallahi wa rasul, and then include the rasul as part of the qasam, is that appropriate?
Well, there's nothing majorly wrong with it, because in the time of Nabi, the companions used to sumba like that. They say... they used to say things like, I swear by the one who created you, bi anta wa ummi, right? In whose life is the life of my, whose hands is the life of my mom and my dad, and you. And that they used to make sumba, like that to our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So now our Nabi is not there, so we can say Billahi wa Rasul. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
In the name of Allah and the fact that the messenger was there.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, Allah Subhanahu wa Taala sumba by our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the Quran. You understand?
Allah,
and there's various ways in which our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam Allah sumbas, and one of the ways is in one way, particular way, is mentioning our Nabi Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in this qasam. But what I want to say here is, there's nothing basically majorly wrong with saying Billahi wa Rasul. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Because bi anta bi abi wa anta wa ummi. You know, bi abi anta wa ummi. Sahabis who say this by my father and my mother. And by you, I say, you understand, by the life of my mother and father, and you, I say, I didn't do it. They used to say that in the time of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, the important thing is that all that I say is that on the life of those people, in other words, I say that Allah can take them away if I am telling a lie. And that's what you're saying if you include them in your qasam. So in the time of in the respect of our Nabi, we honor our Nabi to that level that I say with through him and his existence that I say that I didn't do things like that, or I did this, or wallahi I achieved that. So, but the idea is not to make somebody else, in regards to your deed, or in this regard, make Allah witness to what you are not, that you are dishonest about. So be honest and be clear. The other one thing that our Nabi mentioned in his hadith, prophetic saying, he says, you can find a mu'min guilty of anything. You can find him guilty of anything, but not dishonesty. You will not find him guilty of a lie. Why? Because he knows, a mu'min knows, that he can't lie. You can find him guilty of anything in this world, but he will never speak a lie and he will never be dishonest. Why? Because he knows that, in fact, there's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, in Surah Bani Israel, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that when you make a promise, That promise Allah is a way of, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question you about it. Right? So that is very important for us to realize.
The voice of Sheikh Kashif Dalman. We're in the program Friday Nasiha. Our topic this morning is honesty in life, inshallah. When we come back from this break, we will continue. Stay tuned on VOC 91.3 FM. I see the SMSs are coming in. We'll share that with you later.
البرنامج الدين في يوم الجمعة يوم الجمعة يوم الجمعة Programs of Legion on a Friday only on the Voice of the Cape.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to Friday Nasiha. You're on the Voice of the Cape, your favorite radio station on 91.3 FM studio. But don't forget, we're also on 89.8 and 90.9 if you're looking at the two oceans regions, and 95.8 FM. You're listening to us in the Boland or anywhere else in the world, then you could be listening to us on www.vsfm.co.za out in the world wide web. Well, this morning in studio, we have Sheikh Kashif Dalman joining us, and Sheikh is talking about honesty in the world, and what it means for us to be honest, and how we need to live our lives as Muslims, and that needs to become part of our lives, subhanAllah. Sheikh mentioning before the break also about taking a qasam, and what a great sin it is to take a qasam in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make Allah a witness to a qasam, and in actual fact what you are swearing by, what you're swearing on, is in actual fact a lie. So subhanAllah, may Allah preserve us and protect us from that, inshallah. Sheikh, I hand back.
The other thing that I need to bring to the attention of all, inshallah, is the fact that if you are dishonest, which means you are deceiving people on what you are portraying, you understand? And there's a prophetic saying in regards to that. And when Nabi says, "Man ghashana fa wa laysa minna," whosoever deceives us is not of amongst us, you understand? So in other words, we need, one of the words that always comes in, even in businesses or in workplaces, what do they speak of? They speak of transparency. And so there mustn't be underhands and secrets, and, you know, it must be upfront, you understand? Man ghashana fa wa laysa minna. Who deceives us, they are not of my progeny. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide and protect our youths particularly, so that they don't fall in these kind of traps, because ultimately we are living to aspire to the life of our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, one of the greatest issues in dishonesty is in businesses, you understand? And that didn't only happen, or it's not only happening currently today, but even in the lives of the prophets. If you look at Nabi Shu'aib alayhi salatu wasalam, you'll find that people used to be dishonest in the way they used to do business. You understand? And Allah speaks about in the Quran, Allah said, wa'ufu al-kayla idha kiltum wazinu bil qistas al-mustaqim. You understand? Allah says, wa'ufu bil-kayla. In other words, when it comes to the weighing of the scales, you understand? Then give what is rightfully due to the person that's paying for what he is taking, you understand? In other words, don't give him, if he pays for 2 kilos, then we give him a half a kilo, you understand? And charge him for 2 kilos, right? And fix your scales, make it right, because what they used to do is they used to, you know, fiddle with the scales and then lie about their business. Now, all of that is based on the importance of being a person that believes in God, knowingly that God has asked us to have good relations with everyone around us. So what does that mean? It means predominantly that our life is not based only in spiritual activities in terms of how to pray to God and how to supplicate to Him and how to give charity in His name or in for His sake, or perform certain rituals. But it is more to do also with our contribution to society. And if there is anything wrong in our dealings with people, it will adversely affect our lives. And it will also affect our akhirah. It's not like when we say that, listen here, keep religion by religion and business by business. There's no such thing. You understand? And sometimes we find that people are doing businesses, And the main modus operandi is how to get the deal through with the gray area, not making made spoken off. You understand? Like if you look at a very, very typical example of a good businessman, and their businesses always flourish. In fact, one of the great examples of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that even if a person is not aware of, in terms of, is old and he can't really work with money, or he can't really read the scales, and or whatever the case may be, our Nabi always used to be clear and give them what is due to them. If people forgot about their chains, he used to always make sure that they get it. You understand? So that is, it's very important. Like one such person was like Imam Abu Hanifa, you know, he was a tradesman. And in his business, he used to be very, 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 very upfront, you understand? And one particular incident happened when there was a piece of cloth that he used to, because he used to trade in silk, you understand? So due to that, there was a piece of material and there was a guy working in his store, you understand? So there was a piece of material and there was a defect in the material. And then he came back to the store and he saw that piece of material was gone. So he asked the guy, that material that was laying there, did you sell it? So he says, yes. So he asked, did the person see the defect in it? So he says, no, the person just came on the walk. I was about to close, the person saw the material, he took the material, he gave me the money and he ran off. So he says, so the person didn't see. So he went, and he went to go and look for that person. Until he got that person in the market. He brought that person back to the store and he asked the person that, I believe you bought something from me this morning, and I just want to know, did you examine the piece that you bought? So he says, no, it's still in my bag. So he says, okay, now check it. So he checked it. So when he saw it, he says, there's a defect in it. So he says, it's fine. I know there's a defect in it. I just want to know if you still want it. So he says, no, I don't want the defect. So he told the salesman, give the money back. And so the person said, yeah, that was a done deal. So he says, don't you know what our Nabi says? That if you sell something to someone and he did not see the defect in it, finding out later on about the defect and he wasn't made aware of it, he is entitled to get his money back. He's entitled to get his money back. Because I didn't highlight the defect. You understand? Now the issue is maybe not in most of the times, you know, but the issue is really in our time is sometimes we cover the defect. We are covering it up with a whole lot of things, you understand? In order just to get the deal done.
And Sheikh, also sometimes if we look at the salesman aspect, sometimes people come and they lay a lot of things before you. I've got this wonderful package, I'm selling you this, that and the other, and it's going to cost you so much money. But there's a contract with a fine print that I don't tell you about. Like a lot of the time, if we look at when people say, oh, you know, this product that you're going to buy or this service you're going to buy is going to be so much. And then afterwards, when you run into some trouble, when there's a warranty issue, whatever, now you want to take it back and say, I'm sorry, but you see the fine print is there, the fine print is that, the fine print is that. SubhanAllah. So in actual fact, when they're telling you about how wonderful this is,
They don't
tell you about the fine print. So in that sense, can that also be sort of seen as a lie?
Because those are the things that were supposed to be made clear to you at the time of purchase. Do you know that if this thing happens and you take it away and you come back with this, for example, cell phones, for example, it's a major situation with cell phones. And sometimes they create something. They're looking for something. The moment you bring the thing back, the main purpose is to find what you did not observe in terms of what is written on the fine print, which I never knew. Understand? And those are the things that therefore, because of that, I mean, Abu Hanifa was a very successful businessman. He was actually, let me just for the sake of a listeners say this, that Imam Abu Hanifa was such a successful businessman that he was one of the privileged people of the ulama that used to pay his students to study.
SubhanAllah.
His students used to study by him, and used to pay them, like Abu Yusuf used to be one of his favorite students. And as he was studying, this guy just stayed away. And then he went and checked, my friend, what's wrong? So he said, I can't afford, my father wants me to work, and I've got a wife and I've got a children. So he said, how much do you need per day? So he said, I need so much. So, come, I'll give you that mukafa'ah. That is for you, bismillah. He goes study the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now that is I say, you understand, just to be honest about it and your dealings, your life and your business can be so smooth.
And Sheikh, can we say that because there's barakah in what you're doing?
Yes.
Allah is pleased with
His blessings.
So therefore Allah blesses what you
Allahu
have.
Akbar. Allahu Akbar. It's not a better word to say. And the other thing I want to say, are we taking a break now? Yeah, we can. I'll start with this next idea.
Okay, inshallah. The voice of Sheikh Kashif Damwon, the program Friday Nasiha. When we come back, we continue. Stay tuned.
البرنامج على الدين في يوم الجمعة يوم الجمعة يوم الجمعة Programs of Legion on a Friday only on the Voice of the Cape.
One on the Voice of the Cape. You tune to 91.3 FM, and this is the Friday Nasiha. This morning, the topic on the table is honesty. And we're trying to keep everything on top of the table, nothing underneath this morning, inshallah. The voice of Sheikh Kashif Damwon is the one you're listening to on the other side
inshallah.
Of this table. Sheikh, this morning we're speaking about honesty, and we've spoken about this. But the reality is, obviously, this is all part of good character, isn't it? About being a Muslim who deals in this world for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and deals with people for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's sad that sometimes people, like Sheikh has said before the break, they separate deen and business.
Yes.
When in actual fact, when we say Islam is a way of life, we're contradicting ourselves then saying, let's separate the one from the other.
And one complements the other. In other words, if you do have religion within you, and you have a business one side, and it conform with what the teachings of God is saying, then it complements your deen. You understand? And that's basically what it is all about. You understand? It's about the other thing I want to bring to the listeners' attention is that whatever you do, and I think today even the modern world is on that same page. I mean, big companies, like, you know, major companies, the main purpose of the business is, in fact, one of the things that is driven in business, in their business, is service delivery. You understand? Service delivery. And it's all about service delivery. And that is what God is teaching us. That if you having a business, the first intention of your business should be service delivery. That I want to bring this product to society to service them. So therefore you're going to make sure you're giving them the best, you understand? And you're giving them the best services. You understand? And that is what life is all about. So that is also part of the whole concept of honesty, inshallah. Even when this is earlier, we spoke about the importance of, there's prophetically, our Nabi Zaman says there's certain people that Allah won't look at yawm al-qiyamah. Allah, لا يكلمهم الله يوم القيامة. Allah won't even speak with them يوم القيامة. ولا يزكيهم, and nothing will protect them from the anger of Allah. ولا ينظر إليهم, and Allah won't even look at them يوم القيامة. Right? And then the hadith says those people who make qasam on the sila means the bid'ah, the merchandise. Now what it means actually is, there's another riwayat of the hadith. الذي يبيع سلعته بعد العصر, you understand, and it was predominantly referred to that after Asr, because after Asr the day is almost done, and people wants to get rid of their business, their merchandise, and due to that they do anything to get the sale, you know, and they're selling it due to desperation because they don't want to go home with this item, so they do anything to get the sale. So that's a very, very, very dangerous thing. Now, it's just fine to get the sale, but to don't care what you do to get the sale is dangerous. And what certain people are doing, inshallah, na'udhu billah, may Allah protect us against that, is they want the sale, But they are lying on the deal. You know, saying they are dishonest about the deal. And this doesn't affect any person. In other words, if I say to you, I'm selling this thing for 25 rand, right? Knowingly, I bought it for 15 rand, which I make a 10 rand profit. But I'm saying to you, I'm listening, Buddha, this thing is 25 rand. I'm telling you, I'm selling it below cost. I am not making 1 cent profit on you. Now, who's not harming me? It's not harming you. I'm promising by God, I'm telling you, I'm making no profit on this thing. It's not harming you. Is it harming you? No. If you buy the idea, you're buying it. You think under impression, you understand the impression that you didn't, you got it below cost. But because you are lying, you are dishonest on the deal, Allah says, لَا يُكَلِّمُهُمُ اللَّهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَلَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَيْهِمْ وَلَا يُزَكِّمْ. I will not look at them and I will not talk with those people يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Why? Because they made me, wallahi, this is, I'm not making a profit on you, on this thing. Now, in heaven's name, what businessman will stand on the corner whole day selling something with no profit? You understand?
Mm.
By not making a profit. So rather don't say that. You know? Don't say it, brother, yeah. That is for you. It's so much. 15 rand. Bismillah. 20 rand. Bismillah. Take it or leave it. It's fine. But to make the qasam on the merchandise, saying that you're not making a profit, in actual, you're not harming no one. But because of the deed, you are now harming yourself.
And also, doesn't that also have to do with yakin? Because what happens is, when people sell in a dishonest manner, then we find that money goes very quickly. They might make 10,000 rand profit, but they don't know where the money goes. It's just at the end of the month, or the middle of the month, or 3 days from now, 5 days from now, it's gone. And they don't know where it went. It's like
it's
water.
It's like water in
like
your
water,
hands.
Exactly. And we find that person who makes business honestly, and subhanAllah, with whatever money he's making, he's surviving. And we see these people all the time, informal traders, every day coming back at the same spot and selling, and they survive, and they send the kids to high school and to university, and they're able to pay for their weddings, and they're able to live a life, subhanAllah, with the little money that they're earning. Yet there's someone on the other side who's earning maybe 10,000 or 20,000 rand a month, and they're not even able to sustain their family. They've got loans, they've got debts, they've got this to pay, and they're so nick deep in debt, subhanAllah. So it does show us, I think, the barakah we can see physically from what has been shown to us in terms of what honesty does and what honesty brings and what dishonesty brings.
And for many people might think, because I am honest, I get a tough situation in my business because it's going slow. But just look at the duration of your business. Then you'll see it is longer there. Whereas people that is dishonest about their business, always they will see them in no time being rich. And just a blink of an eye,
everything's gone.
Everything is gone. You understand? And you know, it reminds me of a situation, you know, and I just want to share this to the listeners, inshallah. One day, Ummu Habiba, you know, maybe there's no relation in terms of, but it's important for us to understand that sustenance comes from Allah. Mm. That this is the moral of this whole incident. One day, Ummu Habiba, which she was the wife of our Nabi Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but she was also the daughter of Abu Sufyan, and she was a sister of Muawiyah. So Muawiyah was married to the daughter of Abu Sufyan. Sorry, our Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was married to the daughter of Abu Sufyan, which was also in this regard the sister of Abu Sufyan, right? Mm-hmm. And the sister of Muawiyah. So Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam overheard she made a dua. And the dua that she made was, Allahumma mati'ni bi rasuli, bi habibi rasulullah. Mati'ni bi zawji rasulullah. Wa bi abi Abu Sufyan, wa bi akhi Muawiyah. And the dua was like this, oh Allah, grant my husband, Rasulullah, a long life. And grant my father a long life, and grant my brother a long life. So our Nabi went up to our Nabi said to her, إن أنت سألت لله عن الأيام معدودة وعن الأرزاق مقصومة لو سألت لله الجنة لتكون خيرا وأفضل. that you are asking Allah on days that has already been ordained. And you are asking Allah sometimes on sustenance that has already been disseminated. Allah has already decreed how much I'm going to make. If you had to ask Allah for those same people, that Allah must grant them Jannah, it would have been better for them. Because Jannah Allah will give. But if you were written 10,000 rand as a per month as your earnings, it's not going to become 20,000 rand. And if it's going to become 20,000 rand, it's going to run out earlier at the end. Because that was, in other words, if Allah has said, Kashif Damon, you're going to make in your life, the amount of monies that's going to come through your hands is going to be 5 billion rands. Ameen, inshallah.
Ameen.
It's going to go through you from the day of birth until the day you die. That's the amount of money that's going to come through your hands. And I am, how do they say, 5 billion?
Yeah, 5 billion.
If I manage, if I'm going to die at the age of 60, inshallah, and I've managed to get 5 billion rands at the age of 50, I'm not going to get for the next 10 years nothing. Why? Because it's up. It's finished. So the big thing is after the, I had 5 billion rands that went through my hand. What's going to happen from the last 10 years? I'm thinking, my pisasa can't leave, you understand? And that is actually what it is, what the statement is. So by dealing and wheeling and lying and conniving around your businesses, it's not going to make you any richer.
And she also, is there a difference between rizq and wealth? Because we see people have a lot of money, but then at the same time, also you can only consume so much at a time. So is there a difference between having rizq, because we ask Allah to increase our rizq and increase our sustenance, but is there a difference between the rizq, actual rizq, and a person's wealth, that all that money you've got in the bank and all
and,
the clothes?
And that is what life is all about. I mean, if I am a millionaire, for example, if anybody is a millionaire, you can only eat one plate of food tonight. You can't eat a million plates of food. If I'm a millionaire, how many cars can I drive at a time? The other ones was look at me, but I can only drive one. How many houses, how many beds can I sleep in at night? Only one. So that is wealth. That is fine. So your rizq is, now look at rizq, the word rizq that you just mentioned now, is what Allah has sustained you with through what will serve you. So in other words, that bread is the sustenance, is rizq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if Allah take the sustenance out of the bread, the word blessings out of the bread, so even by eating the bread, being filling the hole that is in your stomach, might not serve the purpose that it's needed for. And that is what you refer to as, you just rightfully said now, that's the rizq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
And even though you've got 20 cars, you can only drive one. Even though you've got a pantry full of food, you can only eat a little bit, you've only got one stomach.
Yeah.
And whatever you can buy at that point in time, you can only buy with whatever money I have available to you, subhanAllah. So, yeah.
I just want to end off, inshallah. I don't know how much time we have.
I think we can do so after the break, inshallah. Sheikh, the voice of Sheikh Kashif Damu, program Fried Nasiha, and we're chatting about honesty, inshallah. Back after this.
البرنامج الدين في يوم الجمعة يوم الجمعة يوم الجمعة Program of Religion on a Friday only on the Voice of the Cape.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to the Fried Nasiha. SMS lines 47913. Just want to share those messages with you before we continue. First message says, yes, I'm so excited to hear Sheikh Kashif on. And that's, says, alhamdulillah. No name mentioned there, but shukran so much for that one. And then another message here that reads, Salaam Sheikh, shukran to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and all the shayukh and for the role they play in our lives. Alhamdulillah. And it says, Jumma Mubarak. Another one says, Assalamu alaikum. As someone that was raised with the Sunnah of beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and being very observant, I can't understand why my fellow Muslim sisters and brothers find it hard to implement. Please tell me how I must react without it getting to me. Shukran and salam. Then another one, salam alaikum. I'd just like to ask Sheikh Kashif to make dua for one of his students from Belgravia who is very ill with stage 4 cancer, Yasin Antile. Shukran. Then another one that says, Salam Fasih, you're not away, but you and Sheikh Kashif will always bring wonderful memories of Hajj 2010. Maaf, I know, off topic, keep up good work, inshallah. Another one says, Salam, Jumma Mubarak, told my employee and colleague, let us be satisfied and we must say Alhamdulillah, not too long after Allah sent sending more barakah, Alhamdulillah. Allah wants us to be honest, truthful, sincere, and say Alhamdulillah. Another one says, Salam Sheikh Kashif, Damun Jumma Mubarak, my daughter and her in-laws were dishonest in acceptance of one of condition of marriage. After 2 years now, they still feel they didn't do anything wrong. The consequences affect us today, and it saddens us deeply. We discovered after the marriage that they were dishonest by accepting the conditions of marriage, that they knew they had another plan once their son is married to our daughter. What is Sheikh's opinion on this type of dishonesty? Says Shukran. Then another one says, Jumma Mubarak, to my parents, Rahmat and Hassan Hatas, and to my kids, Rahman, Ra'na, and Rauda Gordon. May Allah grant my daughters, Rauda Gordon, Shifa, inshallah, ameen. And that's from Mom Ilham Gordon. And I think that is the last of the messages for now. Mm-hmm. And Sheikh, just the, once again, a dua there for a person who is ill. Mention the name there. I will find it in a moment. A person asking if she can just make dua for this person who has stage 4 cancer. Allah grant Shifa, inshallah. Maybe if we have a minute just before the end of the show, inshallah. I mean. So Sheikh, yes, the topic is dishonesty. And Sheikh, alluding in the break to something that I think is very important for us to talk about, inshallah.
Yeah, the other thing that I want to bring to our attention, and we just spoke about the rizq now, you know, and sometimes people, the main sometimes avenue in which people want to be is to gain certain things when they are trying to apply dishonesties to gain some money and do that and do that. And with that, people are growing and becoming rich, and the other person become jealous and hasad, and they want that person to lose the money, knowingly that, like the hadith that I recited just before now, is the fact that Allah already has ordained what rizq you're going to earn in your life, you understand? So I always share this with my students in my class, and I say to them, like, if I'm going to be hasad over the wealth of my brother, for example, I've got a brother, and he's very wealthy, and he's got all the things, and I am his brother, and I've got nothing, and I'm hasad over him, right? Don't be hasad. Because number one, first, our Nabi says, "Innamal hasad ya'kulu hasanat kama ya'kulu narul khatab." That if you are jealous over people's wealth and whatever they have, anything, you understand, it eats away your good deeds, the way fire eats away the wood that's in it. You understand? So that's number one. Number two is, if it is that through your jealousy you have managed to bewitch that person, and you've spoken something over him and he lost everything, being your brother, he might have to come to you for a loan now. But had it been that you made dua for him, that Allah must grant him more, he might borrow you one of those millions that he has. Understand? And that is the message I want to give across. Don't go there. You understand? Just leave it. If the person has everything, even if he doesn't greet you, he doesn't come and visit you, it doesn't matter to you. At least he's not coming to you and asking you for things. You can still go to him and ask him for things or her. You understand? But the idea is, the moment you bewitch people and he loses everything, then he might come to you and ask you, and then it becomes your burden to serve him, because now it becomes your duty to serve that person. The other thing I want to share with our listeners, inshallah, is there was a young man way back, you know, way, way, way back, and he at the age of 8, decided he wanted to go and study the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is where it starts. Whatever we want from family and children and neighbors, it starts somewhere. If we want something, it has to start somewhere. And this child, wanted, at the age of 8 years old, wanted to go and study the deen of Allah. And lo and behold, he went to his mom, and he says to his mom, there were two brothers. And he said, Mommy, I want to go and study the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want to embark on this journey to study, and I want to go to Baghdad to go and study. So the mom said, I'm very happy for you, and I'm glad. And the wife, the mom said, okay, when are you leaving? So they made the date of departure and pack his bags and all those kind of things. And when that time, there wasn't this kind of, you know, buses and stuff like that. It was like, if you want to travel, you have to go to the traveling route. And they used to have people traveling on that route. And if you are a single traveler, you wait until they come past, you join them, and you carry on with the trip. On the day of departure, the mom greeted the son and saying to the son, "My son, I'm greeting you, and I know I'm not going to see you again. The next time I'll see you is the time when we will meet each other in Jannah." So that's the first message the mom says. The second message the mom says to this child is, whatever happens from today onwards with you until the day you die, don't ever be dishonest. Don't ever lie. Don't ever speak a lie. Whatever happens, don't speak a lie. Now, I'm asking myself, if I send my 8-year-old child to school, will that be the shortest message I'll give him or her? Don't speak a lie. I will tell him, don't do this. Don't eat sweets that people are giving you. Don't take this. Don't. The mom is just saying to the son, don't speak a lie. A simple thing. Right? Because by lying and by being dishonest, you're cutting your relation with Allah. So the son went with this group of travelers, and he went. They were on the road now for a while, for a few days, and then robbers came. And they wanted to rob the whole group. Oh yes, before the mom sent him off, the mom had a bag of money, gold coins. And the mom says, "My son, this is your inheritance." And then the mom opened up the inside of the lining of the jacket, and she took a needle and she sewed the gold coins in the inside so it can be safe. So then he went. A few robbers came, and the robbers wanted to rob them, and they robbed everyone. Lo and behold, they came to this boy, and the boy says, the robber asked him, "Listen, what do you have with you?" And he says, "I've got 10 gold coins in the inside of my jacket." So he didn't speak a lie at all. Long story short, he then said to the guy, they didn't believe him. And he said to the third guy that asked him, for heaven's sake, I'm telling you, and he took the hand of the man and he put it to the gold coins. So this guy said, "Really, he's got 10 gold coins?" He cut it out and he went. As they went off with all the jewelry of all the people and the 10 gold coins of this child, the child went on with his trip, knowingly whatever goes, goes to Allah, whatever comes, comes from Allah, and he recited the dhikr. And he recited the dhikr, he became angry, he didn't swear at the person. And as they were going, the robbers, they stopped every 5 minutes. And the third minute, the third stop, they turned back and they came back. And he went straight to that boy and he gave the 10 gold coins back to that boy. And they asked the boy, "Where are you going to?" He said, "We're going to Baghdad. I'm going to Baghdad. I'm going to study the Deen of Allah." And those robbers immediately joined him in studying the Deen of Allah. I'm not saying all ulama is now robbers. Eh? But what I'm saying is, it allows you, the moment you are honest, you change your environment. You understand? And Allah says in the Quran, ظَهَرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِي النَّاسِ. A facade will perpetuate and will continue based on my contribution I do towards it. And by a simple, slight lie, I contribute to the bulk of facade, inshallah. May Allah protect us.
Amen, inshallah. And Sheikh, I think that's where we're going to have to leave it. Just before we go, some more messages. Salam, Sheikh, and Kashif and his wife Zainab for the beautiful nasihas in Makkah and Medina. Alhamdulillah. May Allah reward you in abundance, inshallah, from the 2014 Hajj group. Then someone says, "Salam, in business, can one sell items at a higher price if people take until end of month?" And then, Salam, Fasih, could you ask Sheikh Kashif to make dua for my daughter, Raula Gordon Kanala? This was the missing part of my text. And then also that message for someone who has stage 4 cancer, that is Yasin, and today, inshallah. Maybe if we just have maybe 10-20 seconds just to
we'll make dua, inshallah. And I want to say salamat to my son's birthday, which will be tomorrow, Muhammad Yusuf. He will be turning 19, inshallah. I'll make dua for him as well. Al-Fatiha. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salam wa shafil anbiya mursaleen, Sayyidina wa Nabiina Mawlana Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Allahumma shfi mardana wa rahma mawtana ya Rabban nas muthi bil ba's ishfi anta shafi la shifa'un illa shifa'uka shifa'an la yugadiru saqama. Nasalallahu al-Karim Rabbal Arshil Azim ayashfiyahum wa yashfiya mardal muslimina ya Rabbil Alameen. Allahumma tawwil lahum fi umrihim وأصلح لهم في دينهم ويسر لهم في أمور دنيوية والأخروية وارحمهم وتهم بسببهم يا مولانا يا رب العالمين. اللهم اجعلهم من الصالحين واجعلهم من المتقين واجعلهم من الذين يستمعون القول فلتبعون أحسن. سبحان ربنا رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.
Once again, Sheikh, thank you so much for joining us and sharing this beautiful nasiha with us. A safe trip back, inshallah. Jazakallah Mubarak to Sheikh and family, inshallah. And all the best for the rest of the day.
Shukran, Jazakallah Mubarak.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.